Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning and welcome. I have we've been doing this every week where we have a gift in a box and we have to try to figure out what that gift is. Anybody want to shake to try to figure it out? A couple people want to shake? Anybody have an idea? It's pretty light, huh? What do you think? Squishy marbles? Oh, like little bouncy balls. Okay. Should we open it up and look? Do you want to help me open it? Okay. Open that up. Pull that up. Oh, no. What is it? Ooh. Stickers. That's right. It's stickers. But let me tell you what these stickers are for. First of all, tell everybody what they are. What kind of sticker is that? Heart, that's right. We have a heart. And I want to give each and every one of you a heart that you can place on yourself somewhere. You can stick it on you. And the reason we're doing this is that we are reminding ourselves that God transforms us with love. That when people see you, we want them to know about your heart. We want them to see it. We want them to realize that your love is something that you're trying to share. Because that's what Jesus is trying to share with us. And we try to reflect God's love. And I got an idea. Do you think that after the message today, I'll let you each take one now. But after the message, you can go up and grab one more and give it to somebody out here. It doesn't even have to be somebody you know. I think that would be a beautiful message. And a reminder, anybody else can go and pick one up too. But it's a beautiful way that we can remind the world very simply that we want to share love, and we want to share God's love through Christ. Can you pray with me and then grab a sticker, okay? Dear God, help me to love, and help me to share love as you have shared love with me. Amen. Okay, you can grab a sticker and then all different colors. There's some more in there too. Oops, I'll take that one. You got that one. Is that good? Good. You want that one? Great. All right, I'm going to put it here, and then you can guys can open that gift up over here. I was thinking to myself on that that children's sermon, that was a new idea that I had to have them take another one afterwards. And I thought to myself, oh, wait, what if they run out of stickers? And then I thought to myself, they're sharing God's love. Wouldn't it be a great thing to run out of stickers? So I don't know what I tell the children at the next service, but grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever experienced something so profoundly holy that it stuck with you? A moment in time where if I say the word holy, maybe you're already thinking about it. I think that's kind of what we were talking about today. I actually hope, though, that you can start seeing that more often in your life. Look for a moment last week and say, you know what? I felt God's presence there. Because I do believe that the more we're looking for it, the more we find it. The more we are seeking it out, the more we see it in ordinary things. I was thinking about one of those moments in the Holy Land. Yes, it's the Holy Land. It's supposed to happen, right? But it wasn't about the Holy Land finally. Kind of was. We were at, in fact, some of you have seen this video. Pastor Lita played it while we were here. And I don't know where that video is right now, so I couldn't play it again. But we were at the place of where the shepherds had supposedly come and been visited by the angels. And, of course, like almost every Holy Land site, you can imagine, guess what's on top of every site? A church, right? There's a church there because they want to represent it as a holy place and kind of say this is a place and also give a place for worship. So we went into that church, and I got to tell you what the inside of the church looked like. You know what it looked like? It looked like a church. It didn't look all that different. It was certainly a beautiful church, much smaller than this one. Beautiful, though. But I remember thinking to myself, having that aha moment that said, yeah, it's what makes this place holy is the stories we tell, the things that we share. And then I realized one thing we could do now, and I got to pat myself on the back on this one. I felt good about doing this because I just was like, well, let's sing. And so we sang Angels We Have Heard on High in that place. And everybody joined in, and it was beautiful. And, of course, that is a story connected to that place, the shepherds, the angels sharing those words on high. And you could imagine that. And, of course, that was the beautiful thing. It was a small church, but it did have great acoustics. So we sang that, and maybe the best part of all was as we were singing, another group came in. It was a group from the East Coast of America. And they happen to all be black as well, which for a very white crowd that we have, it was really beautiful to have them join in. And then as they all joined in, as we finished, some of them had sang a little bit with us. We finished up and one of them says, can we do that again? And we sang it again. And I'll tell you, that was a holy moment. I share that because, well, this is an interesting weekend. It's things coming together. The visioning team is here working with a professional, Jim Ledoux. He's going to be introduced a little later. Jim, you can wave, though, where you're at. But Jim's going to share his expertise with our visioning team and with our council and some of our leadership. So I'm thinking this weekend, as I wrote this sermon, about the visioning process. And then our adult forum is on the Holy Land trip, and we're doing that the next 3 weeks. We hope you'll come and experience some of that. Such a great experience back in November. So I'm thinking about that. And then, of course, this story, this transfiguration story, which is also connected to the Moses story. I like to call this weekend Mountaintop Sunday because it's really what the stories are about. They're all on the mountaintops. So I was thinking about all these stories and going, can I put this together? And then I realized, yeah. Peter, James, John, with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, we actually can put all these stories together very well. I realized they go together much better than I was at first aware. You see, Peter, James, and John up on that mountain, you know what they were doing up there with Jesus? They were visioning. I got to tell you, Jim, Moses, Elijah, Jesus versus you, they kind of had the heavyweights, no offense. But they were just visioning. They were visioning and figuring out how to be in this world around them. Side note, somebody asked me in the Bible study this week, how do you think they even recognized Moses and Elijah as themselves? And I think we got the answer. You know, it was a retreat, and at every retreat, hello, my name is. Now, I'm really not sure of that question, but, well, here's the thing. All the writers of the Gospels share this story, at least Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The writer of Matthew, he knew he had a problem in sharing Jesus with their reader that he had to solve in what he was sharing. Because Matthew's audience, they'd already been there. They were already going to church. Not church, it was synagogue. But they were already there. They were like you. They were already connected. And you know how it is when you feel good about a place and you like it. You say you want change. But, you know, when it comes down to it, not if you're moving my pew. See, it wasn't that they didn't know change was coming. It was just that they were comfortable in the world that they knew. They knew everything wasn't perfect in their world, but they had their stories, and they had their faith, and it was beautiful, at least in its clarity to them. But as they tried to vision for the tomorrow and what that would look like, well, they realized they needed to, first of all, because kids weren't going to worship the same way that they used to be going to worship. There was the government using faith as a tool of power instead of a gift for relationship. The poor were getting poorer. The world seemed to be getting scarier. And a lot of people were wondering if the next generation would have faith at all. It's a good thing we don't worry about these things today. This story in our Gospels, it must have been a powerful story to talk about, a powerful story to hear, to listen to. Because first of all, for this crowd, for this audience that was hearing it, they had the vision of mountaintop Moses. Moses receiving on the mountaintop the gift of the law. And then you had Elijah, who represented the prophets. And oh, by the way, back in those days, you had the Sadducees, who were all about the law, and the Pharisees, who were all about the prophets. And they were trying to figure out a way to, how do we be together? How can we figure this out? It's got to be about the law. No, it's got to be about the prophets. It's got to be about, and then God's voice chimes in, which, by the way, again, Jim, if you can arrange it in our visioning process, if you can find a way to have God's voice just come from the heavens and open up the heavens, I got to tell you, I think it would help us all. But in that moment, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. It's not finally about the law, although that was a gift. It's not finally about the prophets, although that was a gift. It's about the love of God through Jesus Christ that has been shared with you. And then again, what we know is finally they will also be gifted with the Holy Spirit to receive this gift that says, through you, others can receive and experience Christ. You can have God work through you, exactly who you are. And by the way, this is really cool what Matthew was doing too, because he also had Jesus say these exact same words another time. You already heard it. Maybe you don't remember, because maybe you just put the stories together. But the clouds opened up another time with almost, I think it was the exact same words. And God did this at Jesus' baptism. A little bit of a way that the disciples were supposed to see, understand, know, that this was different. Ah, but the conundrum. The conundrum for the first century Christians. This is different, but this is change. And how do we honor the past, live in the present, and begin to understand and imagine a future that is just beginning to be made known unto us? As I walked through the Holy Land, I had a vision of my own. It had to do with those ordinary, extraordinary things. But what really caught my eye was the ordinary things. That's where I saw it. It was less about the old buildings that I thought would be extraordinary, and much more about the stories that connected us to them, and to each other, and to God. The stories that weaved through time. As beautiful of a place as many of the places were, it was never the old stones that captivated us. Not really. The stones were somewhat cool to look at, but I remember even in our times together since, somebody in the group saying, you know, I got a lot of pictures of rocks. I wish I would have taken a lot more pictures of people. Because ultimately, when we talked about what we experienced as holy, you know what the group said was the most holy of times? I hope I'm not stealing the thunder from the adult education hour. It was when we sang together. It was when we sang a song that connected us to the places and people that we were around. Sing a song that had been sung for generations and still held meaning to us. As I walk through this church now, it's not so different. Our building is beautiful, but it's just a building. No matter how beautiful of a building, how well it is created, it's the songs that we sing. It's the words that we share. It's the stories that are connected through those. That is our common story. Songs that connect us to a hope beyond ourselves. Songs that help us to see why that little heart can be a representation of love that matters more than the little paper that it's created on. Jesus didn't need Peter, James, and John to build something up on that mountain. There's enough buildings. And God knows, Jesus must have known that the future generations would find a time to build a church up there. He needed them to realize that it wasn't about the stones at all, that it was about them and their vision for the church and their love for people around them. It was about God who loved them and would walk with them no matter what. The vision of the future was connected to the past, but it wasn't the past. The vision of the present was connected to the past, but they weren't going there. The vision was Christ Jesus, who would walk with them wherever they walked. God in flesh. God who moved their ancestors. God who moves us now. God who will cast our vision for our world. One that challenges us not to live for ourselves, for our building, but for others. Amen. Please join us in our